without a book.
So, when you go back to the prayers that we said on page 3 of last chapter, we'll start out by saying these prayers and then we'll move into the second chapter. After this chapter, we'll go and visit the Blessed Sacrament, which we'll be able to talk to our Lord as our best friend for a minute or two. So the Fatima prayers on page 3 of last lesson. Make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's do it again. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Once more. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so let's pray the pardon prayer together. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love. Say the angel's prayer. O most holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly. I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifference by which he is offended. By the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg the conversion of poor sinners. Eucharistic prayer. Most Holy Trinity, I adore you, my God, I love you, in the most blessed sacrament. Let's turn the page. God's love. First question. Why am I here? The response is, I'm here to learn about Jesus, to get to know him, to learn to respond, to learn to respond to his love, and receive the sacrament of confirmation next spring. Learn, know, and respond. Number two, does God love me?
Yes.
Okay, so yes, in place next to it, at all times, in all places, yes, in all times, in all places, write that in there also, yes, in all times, in all places. Who is God? God has revealed himself to us as a God of love. Okay, we are very important to him. He has revealed himself as a blessed Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's make sure that you make the sign of the cross. Well, all of our prayers should be starting with the sign of the cross. Okay, hands open, palm open. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Say it again loudly. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Okay. So we start all our prayers with the sign of the cross, which is that of the Trinity. Okay, what does this mean? God the Father loves you. God the Father loves you. Not only is he your...
Best friend.
Okay, well, good, that's right. We're going to put your maker. He is your maker. But he is also your father and thinks about you and is concerned. He's concerned with you. He's concerned with you. Okay, number five. What does this mean? God the Father loves you. God the Father surrounds you with intimate affection. With intimate affection. At all time. Especially when you are sorrowful and rejected. So as we said last class, we have to try to see Jesus as your best friend. Even when you go through tough times, not to be afraid, open up and tell him what's going on in your life. That's a true friend. And he'll always listen. He'll listen very attentively, any response. So you got a problem. Hopefully all of you have a picture of Jesus in your room. You sit down, just talk to him, open up your heart and tell him what's going on. Tell him how you feel. Tell him what bothers you. Tell him what worries you. Tell him what preoccupies you. Tell him your fears. Tell him your insecurities. Tell him your tensions. And a good friend, who Jesus is always willing to listen to your heart and respond to it. It's going to take a while for us to learn the importance of this. Once this is done, you're going to be noticing a real change in your life. Move over one. Okay, number six. Okay, what does this mean? God the Father loves you. His two favorite names are Father and Mercy. Father and Mercy. His greatest desire is to share his mercy with you. Okay, he forgives your sins in the sacrament of... Let me give you three different names for the same sacrament. It's called confession. Sacrament of confession. It's also called the sacrament of... It's a long word. See if we write that in there. Next to confession. Sacrament of reconciliation. Also called the sacrament of penance. Okay, three different names for the same sacrament. Confession is you have to confess your sins to the priest. You have to vocalize it. You have to articulate it. Now reconciliation means this. If you've had a fight with someone, maybe your friend or mom or dad, by making up, you are reconciling. To reconcile means that you restore friendship again. So we committed sin, a bad sin. We have ruptured our friendship with God by going to confession. That friendship is reestablished. And penance means when you go to confession, priest gives you forgiveness, then you have to carry out an act of penance. That might be to say a couple Hail Marys, or maybe Our Father, or to maybe read passage of the Bible, maybe help out someone. So that part of the sacrament is carrying out the penance. Now, I know that this is kind of hard. However, please try to go to confession at least once a month. Okay? You hear me? Try to go at least once a month. You go to confession, it's hard to go to confession. Kind of hard. You might be afraid. You may not know what to say. Sometimes you're ashamed or embarrassed, whatever. But you just go to confession. And I promise you, you'll feel really, really good. I try to go to confession once a week. Once a week. Or at least every 2 weeks. And sometimes I'm afraid. I go to confess in Dominguez Hills where there's a lot of older priests. There's always one available. I just drive up there in my car. Father, can you hear my confession? Yeah. I get it out. I do the penance. Ah, it feels so good. You hear me? So now when you're a teenager in confirmation, you're going to be with us another year and a half, and then, you know, you're going to be confirmed, God willing. Now's the time to form good habits. In these classes, we're trying to learn who Jesus is and to pray and talk with him. But also, you want to make sure that you go to confession. And this parish is blessed because you got 6 priests. That's a lot. You know, a lot of parishes just have 1, 2 priests, maybe 1, maybe 3. And we're almost every day, you have a priest that's hearing confessions. Other parishes, you have confession just 1 hour every week. Saturday from 5 to 6, and that's about it. So, it's really important that they get in the habit of going to confession. And if you haven't gone to confession for a long time, it doesn't matter. We as priests sometimes hear people who haven't gone to confession for 50 years. Praise the Lord. They're coming back. One of the greatest gifts you can have is to have your conscience at peace. Having a pure conscience, one of the greatest gifts in the whole world. You hear the word saying, the priest saying, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hey, all those sins are forgiven. Your soul becomes white as the snow. So that just if you're aware, the time slots that we have, every morning, Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock, 12 noon, 5:30. Right now, there's the older priest who's 86-year-old, is coming, walking very slowly from the house. He's going to be in the confessional from 5:30 to about 6:37. Father Antolini. He's there, getting old, but he's a good priest. You can go there or go to whatever confessional is open. And you make your confession, what you're doing is you're establishing a good friendship with Jesus Christ. Say you hurt one of your friends and say, you know, sorry, I had a bad day, forgive me. Yeah, you're forgiven. Now, your friend might be slow in forgiving you, But Jesus forgives you right away. As soon as you tell him, I'm sorry, he forgives you just like that, quickly. He forgives you in a heartbeat, if you like that image, in a heartbeat, just like that. We have to learn how to say, I'm sorry. That's what confession is, learning how to say, I'm sorry. And to be humble. And we're all sinners. Only God is perfect. Jesus and Mary, the only ones who didn't commit sins, we all commit sins. And the reason why Jesus came was to forgive us of those sins. To give us a new life. So that what that means is you're going to have courage to say, because none of you can drive yet, Mom, you know, I haven't been to confession for a month. Can you take me to St. Peter Chanel Saturday at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock? Usually that's the day in which we're there for, I'm usually there from 5 to 8 o'clock, sometimes 8:15. Just form the habit. You do it over again every month. It doesn't have to take a long time. I have a tendency to confess pretty quickly. As a preacher and teacher, I talk a lot, but as a confessor, I let you do the talking. You've heard me so much, now it's your turn. Get it all out. Feel great. New person. New life. Great experience. Is that clear? Okay. So we got those different names, confession, reconciliation, and sacrament of penance. What does this mean? God the Father loves you. As a good father, God the Father protects us. He judges us by loving us. If I embrace his love, then I am saved. If I refuse it, then I am condemned. Not by him, but by my own self. Because God, the Father, never condemns, but only loves and saves. Like you put after saves, put next to saves, good thief. Any of you ever see the film of Mel Gibson, The Passion of the Christ, that Jesus suffered on the cross, how much he suffered? When Jesus was on the cross, who was next to him?
There was two thieves, and one of them was penitent.
Repentant, mm-hmm. And what happened? Was there a dialogue between them? What was the conversation? Good. Yeah, they both started to curse Jesus, both of them. Then one of them, looking how merciful Christ was, he turned to the other and said, we're here because we deserve it. Because there were thieves, revolutionaries, and murderers. Revolutionary means someone who starts wars. And he turned to his companion and said, we're here because we deserve it. But this man is innocent. He's innocent. And he turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What were the words that Jesus said?
You will wake up in paradise.
What did he say? Mm-hmm. Kind of close. This is what he said. Amen, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's incredible. You think of it, this guy lived a really bad life. You think that he'd die and probably be lost, but he just looked at Jesus and said, well, forgive me. And Jesus forgave all those sins. When that guy died, he went right to heaven. That's the power of God's mercy. Power of God's mercy. So no matter what we do, if we and you tell God we're sorry, God will forgive us. But we have to learn how to say I'm sorry. And what prevents us is pride. No. Orgullo. No. Pride. Number 8. What does this mean? Jesus loves you. He gave his life to save you. And now he is living at your side every day to enlighten, strengthen, and free you. To enlighten, strengthen, and to free you. So what does this mean? Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ loves you and gives himself to you in holy okay, bread. That's not totally right. You're partially right, but you're not fully right. What'd you say? Right. Okay, in holy communion. Okay, if you like, here's an analogy. What food is to the body, holy communion is to the soul. So if you don't eat, you're going to get weak. And you can get sick. Then you can even die. Do you ever hear that psychological sickness is called anorexia? Have you heard of anorexia? Do you know what it means? What is it? Kind of. What were you going to say? Pretty close. A little. You have another comment? Yeah, were you going to say the same thing? Yeah, and often it's pretty common in girls. And when I was your age, there was a very famous singer. His name was Karen Carpenter. Really great singer. Have you heard of her? Really great singer. And she thought that she was really fat, but she was skinny. And she started to eat less and less and less, and her stomach shrunk. And then she couldn't eat anymore, and they tried to, I guess, feed her through injection. And then she died. She was probably in her 40s, no? Yeah. And it was called anorexia. So there's physical anorexia, but also there's spiritual anorexia. Anyone pick up the analogy? Physical anorexia, spiritual anorexia? Spiritual anorexia, what would that be? When you don't nourish your what? Your soul, and you don't receive Holy Communion, then you're starting to starve yourself of spiritual anorexia. Because your body's important. But your soul is even more important. The body's going to die. But the soul is going to live forever. So the best thing you can do in the whole world is to receive Holy Communion and receive it well. You want to have a healthy soul? Go to confession and communion. Those two things. You're going to be healthy. Confession is like going to the doctor. Communion is like going to Burger King or Domino's Pizza. You know, you're having a nice, nourishing meal, and that gives you strength. Get sick, you go to the doctor. And even a flu shot. I still have to get my flu shot. Remember, last year I got a flu shot. I was pretty healthy most of the year. I didn't get the flu. And the flu, it's like preventive medicine, okay? So going to confession frequently is like getting the flu shot. Better preventive than curative. But if we get sick, go to confession, and that cures us of the sicknesses of our soul. Okay, so Jesus Christ loves you and gives himself to you in Holy Communion. He wants you to receive Holy Communion at least every 7 days. Any of you know how often you can receive Holy Communion? Just on Sundays? That's it?
No.
Could you receive communion on a day aside from Sunday?
Yes.
Friday night? When else? Saturday afternoon. You know, you can go to Mass and communion every day. You don't have a lot of work and vacation. So, say for example, tomorrow, your mom says, "Yeah, look, you know, how are you doing with your schoolwork? I got it all done by 5:00." And your mom says, "I'm going to go to Mass. Would you like to come with me?" Yeah. Go to Mass at 6:15. It's over at 7:00. And then you receive Holy Communion. You're home by 7:15, 7:20. And the Mass only lasted 35 minutes. So it's worth it. Of course, I mean, you have to prepare for an exam. You're going to go to Mass and you don't prepare yourself for an exam. That would be wrong. But you've got some free time. Why not? You go to Mass every day, right? With your husband, right? Yeah, but I think if you didn't go, you feel that something's really missing, right? You know, I know someone that would travel 30 miles to go to Mass at 0 degrees temperature on the other part of the country. That woman is 86 years old. It's my mother. Pretty old, huh? Imagine that, an 86-year-old woman driving in the car 30 miles and getting out of the car, it's freezing, to be able to go to Mass, because there in New Hampshire you don't have Catholic churches. Most of the people there are Christians. My mom can't live without Holy Mass. She's got a son who's a priest, me. She really wants to go to Mass and make the sacrifice, even though it's hard. Because she recognizes that sacrifice is worth it. And an example I give to them, if I were to tell you, if you meet me tomorrow morning at 3:00 in the morning and you shake my hand, I would give you $5 million. I think all of you would meet me to get the $5 million. Well, Holy Communion is more important because Holy Communion is God. If we understand these examples I'm giving you, it's God. So we should appreciate it all the more. Appreciate the Mass all the more. So you can go, you know, you could actually go to communion actually twice a day. If you were to go to Mass in the morning and you go to Mass in the evening, you could go twice a day. But you know, 120 years ago, 120 years ago, it's about when my grandmother was born, many years ago, that you would not receive your communion until you're about 19, before St. Pope Pius X. And people receive communion just twice a year, for Easter and Christmas. Now, there's a promotion to go to communion as often as possible. Now listen to the words of Jesus. John chapter 6. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. What is he saying? You want to go to heaven. Want to go to heaven? Receive Holy Communion. That's going to take you to heaven. I'm the bread of life. John chapter 6. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. So hopefully our soul has a real hunger to receive God. Real hunger. Number 10. What does this mean? Jesus Christ loves you. Jesus Christ loves you and remains with us in the most blessed sacrament. He waits for you to visit him. He waits for you to visit him. So let's say that prayer again, the Eucharistic prayer. Let's say it together. Most Holy Trinity, I adore you, my God, I love you in the most blessed sacrament. Where is the blessed sacrament in the new church? You know where it is? It's in the tabernacle, but is it somewhere else? You ever go in the church sometime during the week? You're going to notice there on the altar, you've got this, looks like a circle. In the middle of the circle, there's a white thing, circular white thing. And then you can see these candles. It's called a candelabra. Three going up like this. You going to say something? The monstrance, yes. So we're going to be, you know, we visited the Blessed Sacrament last week with them. We're going to be making a visit in a few minutes. You're going to see there on the altar, see those candles, and you see the monstrance. In the very middle of the monstrance is that host. That's the Blessed Sacrament, and that's Jesus Christ. That's why last week we practiced the genuflection. Remember that? With your right knee, you went all the way down to the ground. You're showing your adoration for Christ. Number 11. What does this mean? Okay, God, the Holy Spirit, loves you. Okay, the Holy Spirit is which person of the Blessed Trinity? First, second, or third? Nope. Nope. That's wrong. Do you know? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So which would he be? The first, second, or third? He's the third person of the Trinity. Who's the second?
The Son.
And what's the Son's name?
Jesus.
And the first would be, of course, the Father. So what does it mean? The Holy Spirit loves you. God, the Holy Spirit loves you. He pours into your heart. Pours into your heart the love of God, which transforms you. Do you know what the word transform means in English? What does the word transform mean in English? Okay, it means to change. So you ever hear the expression, you become what like you eat? I mean, if you eat, have a good habit of eating, you're going to be strong. If you eat the body and blood of Christ, you're going to become more like Christ. St. Paul says, no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Okay, now, what does this mean? God the Holy Spirit loves you. God the Holy Spirit loves you and gives you His okay, oh, what? Okay, turn your binder over. What are those? No, what does it say? It says the gifts of what? How many are there? Seven. Those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, there are seven. So let's go back. We're going to be filling in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are seven. So there are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, in the sacrament confirmation, we're going to write down, we already have some of them, but we're going to be filling in another three. See if you can do it. Okay, look at you. Can you look at your binder? See, you have understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety. What are the three that are not written in your text? Okay, wisdom. What else? After understanding, what else? Knowledge. And fear of the Lord. Okay, so write those in. So after confirmation, wisdom. Understanding, then what? Knowledge. Counsel, fortitude, piety, and finally, fear of the Lord. Those are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Next. What does this mean? Okay, returning this love is the meaning. Returning this love is the meaning of life. Return this love is the meaning of life. In other words, Jesus loves you, but He wants you to love Him back. Okay? Now, love is a two-way street. He loves you, but He wants you to love Him back. The Christian life is a journey of growth. Journey of growth in love. Either we're growing or we're not growing. So the purpose of us being here is we want to know God, we want to love God, and we want to serve God. When we die, we can go to heaven. That's why we're here. That's what we learn. Okay, next, number 14. So how can I accept and return this love? Okay, we've got five letters. A, B, C, D, and E. So these are five very clear ways that we can really grow to love God. He always loves us, but He wants us to love Him in return. Letter A, confession and accept God's love. You're all right, but the word that we're really looking for is mercy. Mercy. Any of you know how to say mercy in Spanish? It's a great word in Spanish. Long in Spanish. Ever heard that? Misericordia? Ever heard that word? Misericordia is the word in Spanish. It's the way it's written. I like Spanish. I really like the Spanish language. I don't know about you guys. I really like it. Yeah. know what it is? It's a compound word, miseria. It's like in English, misery. See? And cordia means heart. So our misery meets with the loving heart of God. That's what it means. Beautiful, huh? That's what it means. Maybe you heard of the parable of the prodigal son? Did you hear that? Miseria means our sins. Cordia means God's loving heart is willing to receive us. That's what the word misericordia means. It's good to know languages. Okay, next. Letter B. Mass every Sunday. We're talking about how to grow in love. Mass every Sunday and receiving what? Communion. Receiving communion. Prayer, okay, especially the, what's the prayer that Mary loves? The rosary. Charity, leaving behind self-absorption to seek the good of others. Seek the good of others. How can we help out people? Good. Help people. And last, we want to love God. We have to obey, you know what? Obey what? The Ten Commandments. Good. So it was a very good lesson. And we're going to have the roll call. Do you want me to collect the books when you're doing the roll call? Or do you have a certain way we're going to do it?
Yeah. If they could, when we do attendance, they could just line up and I'll check out the name of your book and the pencils there. And then we can start.
Okay. So you're going to do the attendance now? Or... you're going to come back?
No, I'll be at the door.
Okay, at the door.
And then they can mine out.
Okay, then we're going to go and we're going to go in the church, make our genuflect. We're going to spend about 3 minutes. Just look at the Blessed Sacrament and talk to Jesus in your own words. Okay? Su hijo. Bien, bien. Sí, tuve que separarlo. Parece que le gusta hablar un poco, ¿no? No, sí portó bien. Que somos muchos. ¿Sí? Vamos a visitarlo, el Santísimo, y luego salir. Pero son muchos, sí.
On fire for souls.
Oh, I'm trying. You are too. You're doing a great job. Good to
I'm
see
trying,
you.
I'm trying, Father.
Yeah,
trying.
We're working together. It's a good
we
team.
Are.
Yeah.
We are.
We got all these young people. I got about 30 of them in my confirmation class. It's a good group.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Do the good work, Father.
Thank you. This way, because there's so many. We can maybe go in here. Make your genuflection. And just go in here. Yeah, make your genuflection go down like this. Yeah. All the way down. Okay, now, Jesus in the tabernacle, you're going to spend about just 2 minutes talking to him in your own words. And after that, you'll make your genuflection and you can go out that door. And you spend about 2 minutes in silence. Talk to him what's going on in your heart. So we're going to go up and make your genuflection and go out the left door, okay? Well done, good. 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 Good.